There is a growing sense of concern around the province's offshore future. Some in the industry have gone from speaking out to calling out the Prime Minister. Now, yesterday on Twitter, Noya tweeted at Prime Minister Justin Trudeau that his vague comments around supporting this province's offshore are disappointing. It's not just Noya or the 6,000 plus people employed in the industry in this province that are waiting for answers. The province, of course, has a big stake in the offshore as well, a 30% GDP stake, that is. And if that wasn't enough tension, Noya CEO Charlene Johnson says the time for answers is running out. Ms. Johnson is on the line now to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Chrissy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
So, I mean, this is an interesting change in narrative, vague, disappointing, pretty pointed comments for the Prime Minister yesterday. Can you help us understand what led to that commentary?
Well, I think it's been building over the last 6 months. We've heard plenty of words like help is coming very soon, exploration is key, the economy won't recover unless oil and gas recovers. And all those are words by our Minister of Natural Resources that we've been hearing as early as May. They're just words. We haven't seen action. So when we have members that are closing offices, that are struggling to justify keeping open, when we have 5,200 people without work and many more fearing for losing their jobs, it's no wonder that we're as frustrated as we are today. And frankly, it's really unbelievable that we're still talking about this in September. I know you and I have talked about it in the past, and I've been on with others with CBC and other media outlets as well, numerous conversations. And here we are today with still nothing. And vague comments yesterday and like the world is changing. Yes, the world is changing, but we need to realize that we have to have a balanced approach. And I really see the federal government, it's really idealism and not realism. And we need to ensure that we marry the renewable energy that we have here with the non-renewable energy and be the envy of the world. We have the opportunity to be the envy of the world with the hydro that we have, with the wind that we have. There's so much potential for electrification from shore with hydro to power platforms, offshore wind, and the potential of the resource that's out there. It's the window is closing. Exploration is key, as the minister said, and it needs to be done sooner rather than later. So, yeah, we're beyond frustrated.
And I just want to back up and just clarify that that some of those comments actually did follow an interview with Patty Daly on Open Line yesterday with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. And I just want to pick up on something else there. You said that the window is closing. Why is timing becoming so crucial right now?
Well, you know, the world is changing and we recognize that, and renewables are going to be a key factor. But the world is still going to need oil and gas for the next number of decades. Everything we touch in our household, in your workplace, it has petroleum products in it. We just need oil and gas for travel and food and so on. There's just so much. So there's a crossover coming at some point in the next three, maybe four decades where renewables and non-renewables will meet. So if we're to find that, it takes, in this province, it takes 10 to 12 years to get from discovery to production. And then typically a platform will produce for around 30 years. So that's why I say the window is closing, because in reality, exploration is likely going to happen for the next 10, maybe 15 years. And then you're not going to see a lot more exploration. So that's why we need to incentivize exploration now, sooner rather than later, so we can get the discoveries. So then we can get to that capital construction phase. Each one of these platforms, each one of these discoveries, if they're around 800 million barrels, creates 4,400 direct and indirect jobs. And then, of course, you get to the production where the province then reaps the royalties and consumer spending tax and personal income tax and so on. And there's so much at stake. Everyone knows how much oil is out there. And you've heard me talk about Cape Freels in the past. It's one I talk about a lot because it has the potential for 5 billion barrels of oil. That 5 billion barrels of oil, it's that could be three, maybe four FPSOs. And I just said each one comes with 4,400 jobs. There's a dozen fields out there like that, and there's dozens more with a billion barrels of oil. So we need to get out there, get discovering, find these discoveries, and get to the capital construction and then the production phase.
You know, I want to acknowledge earlier this summer, we were talking about a release, I guess, a call to action for the federal government. You know, it was something that came out that you guys put out. It was 80 or so business leaders, that pretty much a swath of companies from all ranges. I mean, we're talking charities, clean, green, tech, everything, calling on the federal government to invest in the offshore. You mentioned they're transitioning, and, you know, I think Premier Fury has ignited some hope that the province is moving toward a diversification plan. So, I mean, what is the link, and how crucial do you see this, the link between oil and gas and some movement and the economic diversification that we're hearing from the Premier right now?
Sure. We need to use the money from oil and gas to help with that transition, just like Norway does. Norway has this right, and you hear me speak of Norway often because they have the highest electric vehicles in the world, but they're still drilling. Last year, they drilled 57 wells, up to 20 discoveries. This year, in a pandemic year, they're still drilling 30 wells, and so far they've drilled 12, and they have 5 discoveries. So it's important to use that revenue from oil and gas to help with the transition. And, you know, when I spoke to Premier Fury, I think that we should be not only using the money to help with the transition, but setting aside a certain percentage of saying that the revenues from oil and gas, there's a certain percentage that needs to go into, call it whatever you want, a green fund to reduce greenhouse gases, not just in the oil and gas sector, but in any sector, transportation, mining, you know, using the money for geothermal and businesses, helping with our hospitals and schools to lower their greenhouse gases with their heating systems. There is so much potential. But if we don't have the revenue coming in from oil and gas, we're going to be very stressed to be able to do that. And you did mention the press release, and that's what keeps us going with our advocacy. It was very motivating to hear from so many companies and individuals. And you're right, groups like Stella Circle and Young Adult Cancer and young girls who've gone through industry-sponsored STEM programs. I think it was even your show that had some restaurant owners that talked about them getting their beginning in fine dining because of the oil and gas industry. So the multiplier effect of this industry is massive, and that's why we continue with our advocacy, not just for our NOIA members and the thousands of people laid off and those that are fearing layoffs. Really, this is about the future of our province.
Last question. What evidence is there that there is an incentive plan, that there maybe, if there is or if there ever was an incentive plan in the works from the federal government?
Very little evidence other than words, as I mentioned earlier, and the minister telling us that he's determined to get this done. Minister LeBlanc was on recently saying there's something coming soon. The Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, sounded supportive of it, but we've yet to see action. And actually what we've seen is one announcement they made back in May, $75 million, when they announced $2.3 billion for Alberta, $75 million for a methane fund. Well, we don't even have a methane issue in Newfoundland and Labrador. So that's been the frustrating part in all of this, too, is the level of understanding. And I have to say, it is better now, and officials there, it is much better. But offshore is not onshore, so it can't be a cookie-cutter program like in Alberta they announced funding for abandoned wells. We don't have abandoned wells. So I know there was a lot of talk in government about doing something similar here. It wouldn't be abandoning wells. It would be stranding assets. And as I just mentioned, a methane program, and we are fully compliant with all provincial and federal regulations for methane. So far, those are the kinds of things that I'm hearing have been discussed. That is absolutely, while it's helpful to have programs to reduce greenhouse gases, and we welcome it, and our members will certainly avail of it, we need to have funding to incentivize exploration and to get projects, and I've listed them many times. People have heard me over and over, Terra Nova, West White Rose, Beta Nord, refinery closed, exploration delayed, and so on. We need to have funding to get delayed projects back on the table. Norway just last month announced another $30 billion to get delayed projects back on the table. They have about 36 projects that are back up and running or near back up and running. Thousands of people put back to work, and that's on top of the already gold standard exploration incentive they have for going out to explore. They return 78% of the cost. That's what we're competing with. We have the geology. We have the prospectivity. We have the very sophisticated supply chain. We just need the government now to have the vision to attract and to retain investment, because everyone knows the $3.9 billion that was invested here, the commitments to invest. That was committed in the last 4 years. That's in jeopardy too. So we need to ensure that we develop Canada's oil so that we don't have to continue adding to the already $19 billion worth of foreign oil that we import. We certainly hope that's not the strategy. So we, again, continue to wait. I guess many of us now are at the point where we'll believe it when we see it, but we absolutely need to ensure that there is a program that's specific to ensuring that exploration gets done sooner and we get these delayed projects like subsea tiebacks and others back on the table immediately.
Ms. Johnson, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Chrissy.
That is NOIA CEO Charlene Johnson. Let us know what you think of what she had to say. 576-5259 is the Morning Line number, or 1-866-576-5259.